Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly. Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged bourbon is double-pot distilled and non-chill filtered and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain, please enjoy responsibly. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Podcast, another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. This is another on-site podcast. That was Little Stevo. Check him out, www.littlestevo.com if you like what you heard. But today, we are at Mother Stewart's Tap Room with, I know it's Andy.
And Camden.
Camden. See, his brain works way better than mine. But we have Xavier here.
Greetings,
we have Roxy and myself, Tiny. And we are podcasting live from... Now, the event that we're doing is called Bourbon and Cigars, right?
Correct. Yes.
And
yes.
Tonight, we're kind of excited because that whole event, you've got the tasting. You've got people from a couple different distilleries, which I know Dayton Barrel Works is going to be here.
Hanger Distilling.
Yep.
Out of Troy.
Okay. And then the tasting back there looks awesome. I see some Angel's Envy. I see Woodford Double Oaked. And that's one of my favorite bourbons that there is. But you also have a setup right now with a pour of Buffalo Trace. So we have something to sip on. And you know what? Cheers to finally... Everybody finally meeting. I mean, it's just amazing. So,
cheers.
It's been a while that you had this set up, right?
Yes, yes.
So, you know, maybe go into a little bit of, you know, what went into setting this up. You know, how did you get the, you know, and then go into a little bit about the artist that made that fantastic artwork that we've been pasting all around the internet and just the posters. I mean, give us a little bit of that, too.
Just some of us got together, and we know there's a lot of people in the area that enjoy bourbon. And we wanted to bring something closer to us that they could enjoy to see. Everybody likes to come down here and hang out at Mother Stewart's. It's a great atmosphere. Communicate with one another, sit down and have a glass together. But we just wanted to have an event just, you know, for cigar and bourbon guests. Girls, women, just sit down and have it together.
Yeah, I mean that's amazing. Now,
yep.
Is this the first bourbon gathering that you've had, or have you guys done other things?
We've had one before in the past, but kind of not at this level. This is our second run at go at it, but we want to do a little bit more this time. I enjoy listening to your podcast. That's why I reached out to you guys.
We appreciate it.
It just felt like just guys and girls sitting around chatting. That's pretty much it.
It is, although, you know, we have, both Tiny and Roxy have very refined palates. I mean, they can pick the most subtlest flavors out of bourbons and other whiskeys. Whereas I'm sort of that direction, but I'm more of a hand to mouth. I'm the guy that's going to be buying a bottle of bourbon on Friday night to have for a party that night or Saturday night or just a sip on. And so with me, you know, it's either good or it isn't. You know, there's not a whole lot in between for the most part. But so, you know, and the banter back and forth, you know, it's just a bunch of people sitting around. It's a bunch of guys and ladies cutting up and just having some fun, and that's what we're all about.
The poster you talked about, Rick Slark from Slark Consulting got a hold of Molly Matten, which is one of the local artists, and she's the one that kind of put the poster together for the event, which I think she did a great job.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Beyond a great job. I mean, when it comes to the coolness, I mean, she's like on Bond level producing. I mean, that whole picture, the colors, everything just kind of...
That did remind me of the James Bond thing. It's funny you said that.
How cool it is. I mean, you got the whole style and everything. I mean, honestly, that poster made me proud to be part of the event. Well, all right, we got some action out there.
And many people don't know that Tiny worked in advertising and was a graphic artist and designer and retoucher and photographer for 26 years. So he knows how to evaluate his.
Well, that's so nice.
He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about.
One of the guys I grew with is.
A lot of us do other things than graphic design. But one of the nice things about being in it, I've designed the logo for the Scotch and Bourbon. This
our wonderful new banner behind us
keeps me creatively. I get my fix. Creative, you know. I don't have any desire to do much more than what I do for the podcast. But so, what would you consider your palette to be, Andy?
I will admit I'm in the beginner stages. I can kind of break down beer that pops out and that type of stuff, but bourbon's a different game for me. I like to think I could pick out a few things, but like I said, I'm still kind of in the beginning stages of everything. It's not as I don't want to look at it as something drink something. Oh, that's good. I want to be able to break down what I'm tasting.
Yeah,
and like we just did a tasting a couple weeks ago down in Kentucky. We went to about four or five different distilleries. My wife, not a bourbon drinker, but she tried everything. I tried to explain to her to take three sips. Don't go by that first sip because
shocking your palate.
Yes.
And that's kind of how I was taught to do it, so that's where I'm at right now, just trying to break down what I'm pulling from the bourbon.
Yeah, and one of the things that the key to it is first understand, you know, what, you know, get those peppers, those spices, that caramel, where the actual tastes happen. You know, front the tip of your tongue is in charge of sweet. The mid palate is more in charge of some of the subtler notes. A lot of times when you're talking about like the cardamom or you're talking about something floral or whatever, that'll be in the middle palate. And then the back palate's in charge of spice and then you're in like the oaks. Now, some of the oaks will come in the mid palate. But
right,
that
kind of
palate,
side.
Yeah, but overall, knowing where the flavors are, but then educating yourself to flavors. As you know, when you're tasting beer, you know what the hops are supposed to taste like. You know what, you know, so when you're picking out something, same thing with bourbon. Like if there's cherry in there or there's something in there, you know what that tastes like. And you know, so, and then the other aspect of tasting bourbon, in my opinion, is if you can taste something like a mistake or something wrong. Because if you're those high ethanols or those, I want to say it's almost like a moldy taste or an earthy taste, those are distillation, either youngness of the bourbon, or it also is like something could go wrong in the distillate. So you want to identify, because especially as a podcaster, there's so many different palates, and everybody knows that it doesn't matter what Xavier likes, or Roxy, or myself, or you.
It only matters what you like. If you don't like it, and if you are trying to do it, you shouldn't drink it. And if it's the whole world wants Pappy, but if you don't think Pappy tastes good, damn, don't drink it. Just like a lot of people like lobster, but there's some people who can't stand seafood. It's the same thing with bourbon or beer. There's something out there for you. There's no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
So, also, all right, so with that part in there, we're drinking the Buffalo Trace. Let's just give it a sip. And
or we drank the
whoops,
Buffalo Trace.
We drank the Buffalo Trace.
Well, that one was for you, dear.
Whoops.
I mean, on the nose. So what I find when you're nosing bourbon or any whiskey, it's got to be in the glass and maybe a couple sips taken, and then do your nose. Because if you nose it right away, there are some of the flavors that are burning off of that aren't very, you know, they could be bitter or they can be, but that'll all come off. And then when you get to that point like we are now, this has been in the glass. Just the rich, Buffalo Trace is just known for that rich caramel.
Yep, that's what I pick up right off.
It's got honey on the nose.
Caramel, honey.
Caramel, and a little bit of fruit. I get a little, like, orange.
There's a spice there. There's
some sort of. And a little bit of wood.
A little bit of oak.
There's definitely
yeah.
wood and oak on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do my Kentucky chew.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, that's awesome when you go down into the one of the things that we did when we were there last week, as far as we did two distilleries. One was Castle and Key, which is the old Taylor original castle that he built, the first ever distillery built for tourism specifically, and they're revamping that. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. I mean, but at this time they just released their bourbon, and then they have a couple batches of rye released. And the rye's pretty good. The bourbon is you can tell they're just starting.
It's young,
you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't something that they released it on Thursday by a surprise release, and then they released one on Friday, and we were there on Sunday, and I wasn't sad I missed it. Even though I would have wanted it, but I got to taste it, and it was just, it's a good bourbon. But it's not a great bourbon where you have to wait in line and just get these bottles. But everybody's in line because that's their first batch, you know. And you own the first batch, and then, you know, 50 years from now, I had the first batch, and it's a, you know.
Yeah.
So those are a lot of things that go into it. But we also did Heaven Hill, and it was called Bourbon Your...
You Do Bourbon.
And basically they had on tap... three different blends of their... They got a blend of Elijah Craig barrel strength. They take 10 barrels, dump them, and that's the barrel strength.
And those and were then, dumped, 2 days before
right.
we
and the
got
same
there.
Thing, they had Bernheim wheat whiskey cast strength, and then they also had Larceny cast strength. And the Larceny was the highest that it's ever been. I think it was 130.7. And Elijah Craig was...
132.8.
132.8 for the Elijah Craig?
Yep.
Okay. So anyways, we were there and we did that experience. But those experiences are always pretty fun. Now, if I could get you down during Kentucky Bourbon Festival in September, and you're a part of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, there's some... When we go in, we've been at, like, the Middle West Distillery here right in Columbus. We walked in and we got to meet the owner, and we got a whole tour. We've done a podcast with them, started a relationship. So it's kind of like you get some inside access when you're part of the group.
And that's actually my 21st anniversary.
Congratulations.
So I'm trying to talk to my wife. It's September 15th.
Nice.
Now is she, was she starting to taste and think it's okay, or was it? Is she?
I'll be honest with you now. I'm trying to work on it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Damn,
me,
y'all just
me,
heard
yeah,
all
look,
that.
Look,
y'all just
look,
quiet.
Look, 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 look. we all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like.
Bro, me and my man, like me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
But my brother even says we need to just do our own podcast to where we just get her reactions or different a beer, bourbon, whatever, because it's kind of neat seeing that reaction.
You could try an approach where, what got me into it, what I found interesting was to learn about those different aromas and scents and expressions and tastes. So we would lay out some chocolates or some almonds and pecans and different essential oils and different spices and sniff them, taste the bourbon. So it became kind of a fun game, right, to be able to recognize, cinnamon or pepper or even, smoke or tobacco on a bourbon. And that just
The other thing
inspired me to learn more about
if you can take flavors. A pour to bat and you're like, whatever, and just a little pour, right before, say it's medicinal. and then just
help
be like,
sleep.
Oh, this one, I can taste apple. And then just like, do you want to smell it? Can you smell the apple? And have her, it took probably about 2 months of every single night before she was kind of really hooked, right?
Yeah.
Because there was a couple she was like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah. And so, but she was a Chardonnay drinker, so she likes oak.
Okay.
So there's an aspect of oak in this that she transferred. And then I think there was a point where I was into this enough where she realized,
if I wanted to spend any time with you, I better. You can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, you're right. So she joined us. So
my wife and daughter like to go down in the basement and pick a bottle, give me a nice pour, bring it up to me, and I'm about 70% that I can pick out what bottle it is.
That's excellent. That's fun.
So you got them involved.
See, it's a fun game. Yeah, it's a fun game.
I just try to get them involved with that at least. Trying to enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, that's another part of developing your palate and understanding and recognizing.
That's what you do to me. You're like, I'll give you, a fictitious amount of money if you can tell me which bourbon this is.
Well, some of them are really, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like,
I can always pick out the maple.
But the worst for me is like, oh, that tastes like bourbon.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about. First, let's talk a little bit more about you, how you came to. We were talking before, and just your whole story of where you came from and how you got here at Mother Stewart's and got to the brewing part of this.
I was a deputy sheriff for about 17 years. Had an injury, surgery not go my way, so the state told me I need to retire, which. I'm still young, but I can still do some stuff. But because of state rules and stuff, I had to kind of just take my time and wait until they told me I was ready to go back out into the field. And I knew I'd never be a deputy again, but I didn't want my daughter seeing me sit at home, so Kevin here at Mother Stewart's kind of knew my story. So they had invited me down to do little things, because I can't do everything down here because of my lifting capabilities. So I started doing something. Next thing you know, I'm just coming every day. So for about 2 years, I volunteered of coming every day. They were working in the back. I would come in and volunteer for that. State officially said back in October that I could go ahead and take a job doing things. So I helped back in the back brewing with events and different things. I just enjoyed every part of this because the sheriff's department was like a family to me. The brewing industry, I mean, getting to talk with other brewers and everything, it's like another family. It's the same way I've talked with distillers. They feel the exact same way, that it's just one big family.
The interesting thing that we observed down in Kentucky, and probably true up here in Ohio too, is that even all the distilleries, they're like, they're different companies, but they all treat each other like one big family. I mean, they help each other out. They support each other. When there's a problem, other ones will step in to help. And they've always treated each other that way. And and the bourbon industry is now, you know, riding a tide of demand that there's the ceiling is nowhere in sight, and I largely think that that's the fruits of doing to others as you do yourselves, and now they're getting rewarded for it.
That's one thing. So I mean, like, if we're a bag short on something, we know we've got a brew coming up. We know we can call one of the other breweries around here, and they've got our back, and we'll have their back if they need something. It's just, that's what makes it nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, that feels good.
Thank you, Mother Nature. Yeah, thank you.
And that's one of the things, once again, why I love doing the podcasting and love being in the industry. I've always been a people watcher and person. Surprise. But it, the people that I've met people, and I, you know, what I do for a day job, it's my family, but not, I didn't get a lot of close friends off of it. Besides my family. I work for my family, but it's kind of like I don't, but this, everybody I meet becomes, we become friends, like just for real friends. People, because what it comes down to is I really find the distilling industry and the brewing industry is hardworking people who want, once like yourself, you don't want to sit around and do nothing. You don't want to, you want to basically do something and have value for what you do. And it's consistent in the industry from the ownership to the people working for the ownership, because they run the business similar to how they run it's not like corporate America or whatever. Once somebody fits in, if they're doing what they need, if they're working with them every day and they're there in the trenches, there's going to be room for, if something goes wrong, their family. They become part of the family, and that's the way it is in the distilling industry. And the acceptance of us into I mean, I just can't.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You know, that story you was talking about with John and Sherry Spicer, I mean, that's just insane. You know, you go there and all of a sudden you're, hey, you're from Ohio, come on over to our house, and then shoot, whatever. It's all about,
would you guys like to,
as I like to say,
yeah,
good bourbon equals good friends and good times. And the only way you're going to do that is get out into the world and meet people, right?
That's like here at our brewery. You'll see two TVs inside and a bunch of tables, because he wants communication between one another. Yeah. I mean, to sit down and talk, that's...
Look over that way.
Yeah, there's... I mean, honestly, yes, that's what it's about. This area that you have here is pretty fantastic, you know, set up the stage. I mean, you've got everything for the stage.
And what a great venue.
Yeah.
For bourbon and cigars. You got open air. People can light up a cigar if they want. Just a perfect concept, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And then tell us a little bit about the actual building. I mean, the history of this building is what you're
doing. Oh, yeah.
In.
That was phenomenal.
They used to make caskets here. John Kennedy's casket was actually made here. And then the sheets from metal from the caskets, there were sheets left over on the second floor underneath the bar. The metal that you see underneath there
with
and
the
different
kick
places
plate.
There. Yeah,
yeah.
Those are called casket sheets.
Nice.
That's
really
cool. The wood,
fun.
The bar, and the tables inside, those were all beams from the back part. The brew house, and there was actually a small time to where Little Debbie labels were made here.
Wow.
They did a small portion of the...
You were talking about the artwork, and we were dishing on that, how good it is, and I see this artwork up here of both Terry Nation as well as Mother Stewart. Who, do you know who did that, or was that before you...
That was before I was involved down here.
Right.
Brewery started here in 2016. They'll have their six-year anniversary end of July this year. But, yeah, that was before my time.
Oh, okay.
That's
neat.
It kind of divides up Springfield, though, the different...
Before we finish up on YouTube, before we shut that down, you can grab it.
Sure,
we'll just give
the artwork and
where we are right now. But, I mean, we're getting ready. I mean, it's almost time to start. And It was wonderful to have you on. Share a port. Oh, wait. I got one last port. I brought this. Oh, this was from a barrel pick from the Ohio State. It is Old Elk Port Cask Finish. And I just wanted to give you... finish that. Where did, I'm going to pour up a trace on it.
Yep.
So, I just wanted to...
Good. Thank you.
Well, I'll do what I normally do. All right. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Warm.
Just a swallow.
It was in the car. This is actually pretty good warmed up. That would be really good on a nice cold winter night, not on a 90.
With a cinnamon stick in it?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I wonder how that got so hot. Where was it this hot?
I mean, it's just a glass.
It was an air.
Yeah, I don't. We were really nice
air conditioned in the car on the way down.
Ultraviolet rays strike the glass, turn to infrared, and they can't escape.
Yeah.
Consequently, they heat everything inside the glass.
I hope this was in my. I think this is. Who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I want to thank you guys for coming out here. Slark Consulting for helping this. Minette Cigars. I appreciate them coming down here. Dayton Barrel Works. Painter Distilling, and then Kevin and John from Mother Stewart's. I appreciate they personally what they've done for me, but it's nice that they can bring the community together.
Yeah, I'd get, like to give a shout. Okay, the wind is blowing. I'd give a shout out to Bill Hockett from Dayton Barrel Works. He's in the area. He's wanted to let everybody know he's sad he couldn't make it, but they're here. So, all right. So,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Great podcast.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Andy.
Yeah, thank you.
Good podcast. All right.
Nice meeting you.
All right. So remember, everybody, www.scotchybourbonboys.com. You can find out everything Scotchy Bourbon Boys. You can get our Glencairns, our T-shirts on the website. And then in the top right-hand corner, if you see it there, there is a Patreon button. You can support us and get other stuff just like that and better. So remember, we're on all major podcast formats, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and...
TikTok.
There you go. All right, everybody. Good bourbon equals good times and good friends. And tonight, maybe a little bit of good beer.
Oh, yeah.
So remember, everybody, go out there and live your life dangerously.
Good night, folks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.